This recording is with permission from Scholastic Limited. Chapter 9. We need to get inside. I shook the threads of the song from my head as Tao leapt back onto the path and carried me away like a rocket. I blinked away the blackness and breathed out the feeling in the pit of my stomach. As the wind whistled past my ears and the blood from the wound and my head dried stiff, I knew we were still in danger. Through the dark, Tao ran, keeping to the path. He leapt over the tree roots and dodged burrow holes. Agile and fast, he tore through the shadow forest without a trip or a slip. All around us, I heard the shriek of the wood toads. They'd come out of their burrows to look for insects, millipedes and scuttling beetles. Rustling sounds from the dead leaves made me shiver. I'd heard stories of the giant forest snakes, and I imagined them winding through the trees, searching for a goat and a girl to eat. I longed for the safety of Granny Uma's cottage that we'd left far behind. A nightjar's chirr and call sounded close by. Then I felt its wings vibrating in the air as it flew past us. Every sound was heard against the backdrop of the cricket noise that swelled and undulated, leaving no space of silence. It was maddening when you were trying to listen out for danger and jumping at every sound. How far until we get to the forest settlement? The branches hid the moon. I couldn't make out how much time we'd spent outside after the switching hour. I felt the tug of fear in my belly. Badako must be nearby. Hadn't Granny Uma told me before? No one is safe from Badako, the Dream Eater at night, no matter how fast you think you can run. Suddenly, the path opened up into a moonlit clearing. Cart tracks were furrowed into the dirt, and empty market stalls stood in rows, some with bunting trailing loose. Wooden boxes lay abandoned. Tao slowed down, and I jumped off his back, swaying as I landed. My head throbbed from where I'd hit it on the ground earlier, which now seemed like a lifetime ago. Hello! I called out, but no one answered back. Branching off from the clearing were paved paths leading to cottages. They all looked like Granny Uma's home with thatched roofs and clay brick walls. Nothing moved. No chickens clucked from the hen houses. No animals stamped and snorted from the paddocks. Even the cricket noise was barely a whisper here. Tao coughed a warning and backtracked until he bumped against an empty chicken carrier. His hoof caught on the wires and he leapt into the air, rattling the cage. Calm, Tao. I released him with the trembling fingers. I hugged him close, both our heartbeats banging like drums. Tao snorted and shook his horns. He shivered against my chest. We need to get inside, I cried. Running up to the first cottage, I hammered on the door. Let me in, please, please let me inside. I leaned against the door. I was sure I could hear something. Whispers muffled by the wood, the hush of held breath. Please! I banged on the door again, kicking it with my heel. It creaked open. I pulled Tao inside and closed the door behind me. The cottage was small and dark, with only a candle flickering on the wooden table. No fire burned in the hearth. Hello? I whispered. My skin prickled with the sense that something wasn't right. Two pairs of eyes stared back at me. A man and a woman sat by the table. It was difficult to make them out at first, as they were wrapped up in black blankets, merging with the shadows in the room. The woman stood up. She clasped her hands tightly, knotting her fingers together. Thank you. You saved us, I said to her, feeling a relief at being inside and safe from Badako. I'm so glad that there's someone still here. I thought everyone had moved to the town. The woman smiled wide and stretched out her arms to wrap me in a hug. But I instinctively ducked away. Something flashed too brightly in her eyes. Panic. Fear. I gripped onto Tao's collar. Our child, the woman said in words in a hiccup, like they'd been in her throat for too long. You're back. I'm not your child. The uneasiness in the pit of my stomach grew. Now that I was inside, I could smell the sorrow. The air was heavy, stale with it. Come, sit down with us. The woman grabbed my arm, determined not to let me go. We've kept your place, ready for your return. She dragged me over to the table as I clung on to Tao's collar. You're hurting me, I said, trying to pull myself away, but she wasn't listening. The man just watched as I was dragged over to the vacant chair at the head of the table. Something told me, if I sat down, I wouldn't be able to leave, as if sitting down at the empty place would be confirmation that I was theirs. Like I belonged here. My mouth went dry. Let me go. I strained against her, feeling the pinch in my arm as her grip cut off the circulation. I'm not your child. I'm a mayor. Sit down. The sudden flash of anger in her voice made me lose my stance. I stumbled forward, letting go of Tao's collar. I knocked into the chair, sending it crashing to the ground. The man jumped up, righting the chair in a swift movement. Clumsy, his voice was deep and rumbly, taking no notice as I struggled against a woman's grip. He laughed heartily. We're just happy to have you back. Tao shifted next to me, anxiously trotting back and forth. I'm not sitting in that chair. Of course you are. It's where you always sit. The man reached out with both hands to smooth my hair away from my face, letting go of my arm in the process. His eyes didn't register when I flinched away from his touch. We've missed you so much, the mother murmured. Come and sit with us. I backed slowly away as confusion swept over the faces of the couple. Come on, Tao, I whispered. We're leaving. Where are you going? The woman said. She reached out with her twisted fingers, snatching at the air between us. I turned and ran towards the door, opening it and leaping over the porch, my hands still on Tao's collar, dragging him with me. I looked over my shoulder and saw the woman standing silently in the open door, as if seeing the outside for the first time. She clutched onto the doorframe, staring towards the forest like a small child frightened of the dark. I followed her gaze. The forest was an impenetrable gloom. Suddenly, a branch on a densewood tree bent under the weight of something I couldn't see. Tao snorted, his eyes rolling in fear. My heartbeat hammered in my throat. The woman shuffled back into the house, slamming the door behind her. Even as afraid as I was, there was no way I was going back in there. There must be somewhere else to hide. My eyes snagged on a glint in the dark. A light in the window of a cottage, tucked behind a gnarled marigot tree, smoke poured from the chimney. But what if there's people acting strangely in there as well? I hissed at Tao, as if he knew the answer. I looked back towards the forest. The branch creaked again. Something thumped to the ground, something big and heavy. A Wrathclaw? A giant snake? Bedako? Run, Tao! We hurtled towards the cottage and cleared its porch in a bound. I pounded against the door and shouted, Let us in!